Robert, are you reading today?
Recorder is on.
The recorder is on?
Please use the microphone just so the recorder back there can pick it up and get on there. There's a wire in back of the room as well. It has the wireless mic that goes to that.
Okay. So we're doing it so that it'll the people in the back of the room will hear us.
Right.
Okay. I went all the way up in the light.
Wes, okay, yep.
Hello.
All right, good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming. It's wonderful to see such a large group here with us this morning. Want to just start off with a couple quick announcements. If during the meeting you feel the need, there are restrooms located in the hallway when you came in. If you just walk out of this room and make a left and walk down towards the end of the hallway, they'll be on your right. If you hit the end of the hallway, you went just a tiny bit too far. I guess there's some refreshments up here in the front of the room on the right on a little buffet. Thank you for someone who brought those in. I appreciate that. We'll start off here and go around and do some introductions real quick. Before we do that, a couple other quick things is that there will be some times for public comment. During the public comment time, we will ask, when it comes to that time in the meeting, we will ask for names of anybody who is interested. We will then one at a time go through and allow those people to speak. If when we get to the end of that list, if somebody will ask for anyone else, we would ask that if for some reason you wanted to get up and speak again, that you just wait until everyone else who hasn't gone before you, you know, gets a turn first before you go back up again. But just to keep it manageable and organized, we'll ask for names and we'll go through one at a time. Here in a minute, we'll have Robert Newman go through and read the agenda to us. There are copies of the where the open meeting on the back. Okay, in the very back table of the room, there are copies of the Open Meeting Act. And the agenda's back there as well?
Yes, in Braille and print.
Okay, and these are back there in both Braille and print for your perusal, if you would so like to look through them. So with that, we'll go around and do introductions real quick, and then continue on from there. So my name is Mike Hansen. I'm the chairman of the board. I am from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I also represent the interests of the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska.
So I'm Robert Newman. I'm from Omaha, and I'm the co-chair. If I got the first part right. No, anyway. I'm Michael's direct assistant. All right.
There you go.
Good morning. I'm Mark Bolger. I'm from Omaha. I'm the American Council of the Blind designee on the commissioner's board.
I'm Chad Bell from Alliance, Nebraska. Do we want to go ahead and pass it around to everybody else?
I can walk it around. I'm Pearl Van Zandt, Executive Director of the Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired here in Lincoln.
Eric Buckwalter, Vocational Rehab Counselor, NCBVI.
I'm Kathy Stevens, Administrative Assistant in Lincoln.
Wes Majerus, Technology Program Manager based out of Lincoln, and I'm also running the recording equipment.
My name is Bill Brown. I'm the Business Manager 3, the Finance Director for the agency.
I'm Carrie DeFries. I'm the new hire, the Business Manager 2 for the Business Enterprise.
Bob Deaton, Deputy Director for Staff Development, Lincoln, Nebraska.
And Sherry Bahinsky, Client Assistance Program Director here in Lincoln.
Daly, Nebraska Commission for the Blind, Lincoln.
Carlos Cervantes, PT Director for Services, Lincoln.
Shane Burrish, Transition Specialist for the Commission from Lincoln.
Nancy Floral, Omaha District Supervisor.
Lucian Brown, Client of the Commission of the Blind.
Bridget Brown, Lucian Brown's mom.
Ahmed Asari, and I'm glad at Lincoln Commission.
Brandon Peters, Client of the Commission for the Blind.
Jeff Peters, parent of Brandon Peters.
Barbara Epworth, the Omaha Council of the Blind, and I am state representative.
Lisa Kelly, Outlook, Nebraska.
Chris Brent Porter, ACB, Lincoln Chapter President.
Jim Urock, immediate past commissioner, past president of the American Council of Blind in Nebraska, chair of Sheriff Fair, membership chair and convention chair for Council of Citizens with Low Vision International, and whatever other hat I'm wearing today.
Hello. Dale Oviatt, treasurer of ACB of Nebraska.
Kenneth Slavin, president OCB of Omaha and member of the OAB and NFB.
Hi, Kathy Fox, Omaha.
Matt Hackert, communications instructor for the Orientation Center. And just wanted to mention, give Carol Jenkins apologies. She had to leave for an incident.
I'm Brad Lose, and I am a member of the National Federation of the Blind, but the only position I hold here today is just one of the huddled masses yearning to breathe free.
Barbara Lose, member of National Federation of the Blind.
That is it, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you all very much. I am excited to see so many people here. I appreciate you all coming today. Continuing on here, I'm going to ask Mr. Newman to read through the agenda for us. So, Mr. Rupp.
All right, relax. All right, 9 o'clock, call to order. Welcome and introductions. Announcement concerning public comment periods. Meeting agenda, Open Meeting Act, proof of publication, recordings, and other logistics. 9:10, approval of the November 5th, 2016 public meeting minutes. 9:15, focus topic, transition and pre-employment transition services, PREETS. 10 o'clock, public comment. 10:15, break. 10:25, commissioner's report. 10:35, report from the executive director. 10:55, budget update. 11:10, newsline update. 11:15, client assistance program, CAP, complaints or issues. 11:25, anonymous staff suggestion box suggestions. 11:30,
Nebraska Business Enterprise NBE Update. 1140 break. New business 1150. Initiate Executive Director's Annual Review Process. 1205. What is this? Oh. Public comment. Very nice. All right. 1220. Discussion of focus topics for upcoming meetings. 1230. Discussion of dates and locations for meetings in 2017. 1240. Final announcements. 1245. Adjournment.
All right, thank you, Robert. last couple opening items here is I would like to mention that the meeting is being recorded. The recordings will be available on the website maybe a week after the meeting, along with the minutes from the meeting as well. And besides the proof of publication... All right, and I think I got everything else covered except for Kathy. Can you please tell us where the meeting was announced?
The notice of the meeting was published in the Lincoln Journal Star, the state government calendar, NCBVI website, NFB Newsline, radio talking book. The notice was also sent to ACBN and NFBN and the NCBVI listserv.
Thank you very much. So the next item on the agenda is the approval of the November 5th, 2016 board meeting minutes. Those have all been sent around to the board in advance for their perusal and recommendation of changes. Those are published online already. And so if you'd like to read them, you're more than welcome to do so. So at this time, I would entertain a motion from the board to approve the minutes from the November 5th meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that the minutes from the November 5th meeting be approved. Do a roll call vote. Chad?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
And I say yes as well. And that reminds me that... we are missing one commissioner today. Becky Reakin was not able to join us for a personal reason, and we hope everything's going well there. So so we do have four where we normally have five. Next on the agenda is the focus topic, for which today is transition and pre-employment transition services, pre-ETS, something that we've been watching as that develops. It's not something new to the commission. They've done a great job with this for a long time, but it's something that has a greater emphasis now under the changes that WIOA has brought. And so, Mr. Burrish, if you'd go ahead and we'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen, and good morning, everybody. Now, Mike, is 10 o'clock still my target? I want to be mindful of the schedule and stuff.
Officially, yes, but I'm flexible.
Okay. We'll do our best. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Mike took part of my opening remarks, and you're going to hear less from me than you are from some of the folks who are actively participants in the program, is what I have planned today, to have several individuals talk as representatives of a larger group. But certainly I wanted to open with the fact that while I stepped into my role around Labor Day of 2015. I really, number one, inherited a legacy of a long time of excellent transition services that I also benefited from too many years earlier to mention. We have, you know, a new focus with WIOA and the regulations and spending 15% of our financial resources in that area. But it's a tradition that goes very deep here in our belief in blind people. And the earlier that we can begin to shape them, the better. And so today I have decided to focus mainly on the programs, but they certainly are not all of our efforts. We are, I submitted a report to the commissioners, but for everyone here as the public, we are doing a number of things to enhance relationships with schools and other community partners, NCECBVI, for example, and Lisa Kelly's here. We've talked a few times, those sorts of things. And there are a number of things that are not the large programs that occur on an ongoing basis. The districts have various monthly training programs that focus on either job skills or blindness skills themselves. But today what you'll hear are presentations that are mainly targeted at some of those really impactful summer experiences, or maybe in the case of Winterfest, school year-based experiences, where we are able to, and this is a positive part of WIOA, with the concentration on those efforts, we are able to put resources in places sometimes that we may not have been able to before. Now, of course, there's a myth that that means we have more money and we don't. Again, it's just kind of a pot shifting sort of thing where it comes out of and how much we're able to allocate. But we have been able to bring in some world-class trainings that I know people in the teaching community and other places have said, well, I wish not only that all of our blind students could participate in those, but I wish other my children could participate in them, or, you know, my son or daughter who's graduating high school, I wish they would have had those sorts of things. So just for the purpose of a summary for everyone here who wouldn't have benefit of seeing the report, the young individuals, in some cases their parents, who are going to come before you today will talk a lot about Winterfest. And if we just focus on the two most recent ones, we had in March of last year a Winterfest that was done in partnership with an organization called We Fit Wellness. They're a Colorado-based organization that is trying to reverse the sedentary tendencies among blind people because they're not encouraged to participate in physical education courses and those sorts of things. And we did a number of leadership and self-advocacy things in that program as well. And so 22 individuals participated in that. Most recently this fall, Winterfest was based around the training that many people know of, or the now 80-year-old book by Dale Carnegie entitled How to Win Friends and Influence People. And we did a specific youth-based curriculum called The Next Generation. To our knowledge, because we do have access to all of the Carnegie facilities around the country, or affiliates, I mean, around the country, it is the first time that that program had been done with a blind youth or a blind agency, and they're now starting to do one over in Iowa and other places. So that was great. So 20 young people got that leg up on many things like those, how to speak in public, leadership, self-advocacy, many things that come under work-based learning skills and job readiness skills. Certainly, wages continued last summer as it has for nearly 25 years. And we did a number of changes that you'll hear about, some of which We may or may not be able to continue with the finalization of the rules. So, for example, last year we did half-day work days and half-day training, and we're able to consider those jobs. And this year we've decided to go all employment because of the rules. But we also involved another world-class training called Blind and Socially Savvy, which was designed specifically with blindness in mind in partnership with an organization out of Baltimore called the International School of Protocol. So this is a place where people who are CEOs, in some cases professional athletes, those sorts of things, folks who need to navigate in the world of higher society, in business, and in kind of the charity world, like banquets, those sorts of things. These folks came and did two seminars for us, one for the wages students and one for those pre-ed students who weren't in wages. And they provided a number of not only etiquette, but again, leadership, public speaking, those sorts of things. So all these programs are starting to build upon themselves, and we're really seeing changes that I know will be reflected in the presentations this morning. We also tried something new last year called Reboot, which was a technology-based 2.5-day seminar where we involved not only students but also teachers and parents, so that there was a team approach. It wasn't just us showing them technological information and then going back and their parents and teachers didn't have that information. We purchased iPads for all the attendees. There were 37 of those, by the way. And once we combined parents, teachers, and staff in there, the seminar had over 75 people in attendance. And we purchased a bundle of apps for them for productivity that are designed specifically for blind and visually impaired folks. And so that has really done well for us, particularly in the world of education, with that partnership and them and the teachers knowing that we care about their education and getting the information that their students are getting too. I've already talked longer than I intended to, but as we begin to go into the presentations, I want to say two things. It is tempting when you're the focus topic to bring up individuals that you believe are going to say what you want them to say, or to, let's face it, coach them up or whatever. But the confidence that we're building the students carries over to us as staff, and I have that in them too. So I picked folks for a variety of reasons based on their background to show you that there are some myths out there sometimes that we pick the most academic and already half-trained folks to come to our programs. And I want you to see that people come from all backgrounds. We had one of the individuals you hear from this morning just learned that they were blind prior to summer programs. We have people who have immigrated here. We have people who have academic challenges or other physical disabilities. So we want to take everybody in the programs and take them to the place that they want to be. And I want to, before we transition, no pun intended, to the speaking portion of things, I want to give you just kind of a snapshot story of what is going on in the programs. And again, it's just one of many. But there was a young man who came to our programs last summer, and one of the programs with that International School Protocol we called Blind and Socially Savvy, one of the activities was they were going to host networking events and they needed business cards. So the staff and I began collecting those, and this young man's address was Redneck Boy at yada, yada, yada. And I was like, what, how are we going to shape this? Well, we talked about it, and he wanted to keep that address. So then after the discussion of Blind and Socially Savvy, he quietly went up to one of the two presenters and said, I want to change my address. Can we reprint my business card? So we quickly made a new address for him with his name on Gmail, reprinted his business card. And let me stop to say for a second that this is someone, as you can tell by his email address, embraced the idea of being a redneck. And most of his background was like that. He stood up at the end of the blind and socially savvy banquet, and when we tried to capture what they may have gained during that week, he said, "What I want to say is, you may start out a redneck, but that doesn't mean you have to stay a redneck. You can always change. You can be what you want to be." And that's something that happened in 4 days. So with that, I wanted to have other folks come up and tell their story of how you can change and be what you want to be. Wes is assisting me with this. We have two individuals. I also tried to make sure that it's not a this end of the state thing. So we have two individuals that we hopefully will get by FaceTime from the North Platte District as well. And then we have individuals from Lincoln and Omaha. Wes, is this a good time to do one of the FaceTime calls, or should we bring up a person that's here?
I think that would be good. Let me go with the known one that I know works.
Okay. Mr. Burrish?
Yes, sir.
While Wes is working on getting that person connected, I do have one quick question for you.
Sure.
You were mentioning how some of the new aspects that you brought to the wages program last summer and that you'd like to try to continue those this year. And one of them, it sounded like there was some difficulty maybe because of regulations, and that was, I think, how you split the day last year from training and working.
Correct.
And so this year they're going to need to be working all day. Have you guys figured out how you might be able to incorporate the same training aspect still into the program, or is that going to be a challenge to be able to do that again?
It is a challenge to be able to do that and still have them have it be the kind of financial level for them for the summer.
Yes.
We're not able to pay their salaries for training. We looked at many, many options and had a lot of discussions, and we've decided that for this year we'll go back to a full day work day, since the program is primarily, you know, work-based learning is what it's intended for,
sure,
with the hope that we can, over the next year, maybe figure out a way to revisit it and figure out a way to do that. So we'll continue to look at that each year. I can speak for everybody. I feel confident and say that we're extremely bummed, because we know that training in blindness skills is as important as the work-based learning. But going forward for this year, it just seems like the most practical way for us to go, all things considered. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we have our first presenter, if I could get that yes. Wireless up here. This speaker right here.
Would you go ahead and introduce her, Ben West?
All right. Our first presenter is Brianna Prochaska. I have her on FaceTime. So, Brianna, if you want to talk to us, we're ready to hear from you.
Okay, can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Hi, as you all know, I'm Brianna Prochaska. Basically, my experience, I've gone to 3 of the programs with the NCBVI, which is Wages, Winterfest, and Reboot. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get as best as I can. The one program that has helped me, the most helpful in my life right now, is definitely Wages. I'm blind and socially savvy. I definitely think I matured a lot after the blind and socially savvy. It was basically editing skills, like table manners, talking about the different business clothing, That was definitely a different experience than it seemed to be. So, and basically, at Blind and Socially Savvy, we learn a lot about table manners and ways to act in public and stuff like that. At Reboot, I feel that, I'm going to be honest, I did not think the equipment would help me in my life right now, but in all honesty, it does, and especially with, like, the alarm clocks and the reminders and stuff like that. It definitely helps a lot with my everyday life, and so sorry. In wages, I worked at K9 Design. I got to bathe and work with the animals, and then I helped clean up when needed. I loved working there a lot. I made really good rapport with the coworkers and then the owner. The odd part about working there was the owner's daughter's name was Brianna, so that was kind of nice and kind of cool to have someone to relate to and kind of my own age. I never really thought of any program that I've gone to not beneficial to me. So I'll just kind of move on. Honestly, I feel like I've accomplished every single goal I set for the summer. But the one thing that I feel I have definitely accomplished was getting the job done when it needed to be. If I could recommend changes for anything, it would definitely be for, like, at wages when we have the seminars on Tuesdays and Thursdays. When we speak to everybody else, I would definitely kind of change that a little bit, just to kind of, like, because instead of, like, having just other people, just kind of have our own little session of our own, just to kind of get a good idea from everybody else's perspective, like, how everybody's week went, how, just to kind of so we can all understand each other, kind of have a open heart-to-heart discussion with each other. Because, I mean, it's not going to make the perfect relationships, but I definitely feel it would help a lot. Basically, this summer, I definitely feel I have matured and accomplished everything. And that is, honestly, because of NCBVI for giving me a second chance and taking that risk on letting me go back to wages this past summer. And honestly, I have them to thank for that and giving me that opportunity to do that. So, are there any questions?
Yes. Brianna, this is Mike Hansen. A quick question for you, and I just want to say you're doing a great job. I appreciate it. You sound like you're a little under the weather, but I know how difficult it is to do a presentation remotely like you are through FaceTime or over the telephone. It's a tough thing to do. It's a little easier when you're in the room.
Oh, yeah.
I believe you said that you've been participated in the wages program for 3 years. Every year when you come back, have you been paired with a new employer, or have you gone back and worked at the same business that you did previously the year before?
I've only gone to wages twice.
Okay.
Actually, and every time I've been different.
Okay.
Last year I worked at the Malone Center in Lincoln, and then this year I worked at Canine Design.
Okay. Great, thank you.
Brianna, this is Mark Bolger. What are your future plans?
My future plans are to kind of just take one step at a time, find a job that preferably suits my interests and kind of get me going on the right path. So.
It sounds like you're on the right path, and we wish you well.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
No. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is Pearl. There's some feedback. First of all, Wes, are you hearing it in the...
Yeah, it's in the recording. I think it's... Yeah, we've got these microphones all up next to all these...
Yeah.
I don't know what else.
I have these checking the thing in the back.
Just started.
I just want for our sake and also...
Now it's better.
Yes.
And I think also the Wi-Fi, the... radio frequency interference when you pull heavy loads off the Wi-Fi. I think that's doing it too from my phone.
Okay.
This is my question.
Did some adjustment at the back as well. All right, thank you.
All right, I'm going to go ahead. Ahmed, if you want to come up next and come up by me. You can see there the leadership. You don't have the benefit of knowing Bree before, but like her suggestion about seminar and the self-advocacy that she wants to create a group to kind of advise wages or whatever, I can tell you that if we had been at this meeting last year, she would not have said those kind of things. So it's been awesome. It's been awesome to see that. Well, the next young man that's beside me here is Ahmed Al-Saray. He has quite a story to tell, not only coming to our state fair city, but and coming to our programs just last year, kind of newly being blinded. So with that, sir, if you want to take maybe 3 or 4 minutes.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Ahmed Al-Saray, and I originally from Iraq. I came here in 2014. In Iraq, we don't have this kind of technology or this kind of thing. If you're blind, you will do what you gotta do, or you just stay home. No one will help you. You don't have this kind of thing. So when I got here in 2015, I saw that football is a very amazing thing. So I wanted to participate. I participated for 1 month, then I just quit. I couldn't handle it. It's like I was playing a linebacker, but I wasn't good. I couldn't see the ball most of the time, or the players, they will just jump on me, like three at one. That's not unfair. Then last year in January, I just heard about the commission, and my mother started talking to them. So I went to Winterfest in March. Then I saw a lot of people. One of them, he did it in track and field, and he had a medal of that. So I said, wow, he can do a lot of things. So what's wrong with me? Why I can do it? And then after a while, I joined the track at the same month, on March. I did pretty good for the first 2 meets, but then I got injured in my leg, so it's hard thing you get when you run a lot. Then on the summer, I joined wage program. I saw kids who are the same age as me. They have different experience on how they deal with their life, and how they accomplish a lot of things. And I got like really impressed. Like here, I have my friend Brandon. He have a lot of things. He don't know your language. He trying to do a lot of things. He trying to do better things. So I just asked myself, why I can't do the same thing? He can do it. If he can do it, I can do it. We both have the right. He is like cool black, but I'm visually impaired. But he's like, he can ask, but he can do better than me. So what's wrong if I can do it, I can do it. So in the next, in the fall, I tried the football season again, and I succeed. I finished the season, I tried JV and varsity at the same time. The coaches were impressed by me, and that's really great. Even though I talk a lot about sport, let's talk about academics. In Iraq, I was a top student, even though I had a problem with like how to study. Like most students, they take like about 3 hours a day to study, to finish all their work. I didn't have this kind of thing. I studied for more than 8 hours. Like I get to school at 8, I will get out at 12, then I have to study from 1 o'clock until I go to sleep, like at 10. So I will spend most of the time just studying. On the weekends, I just go, if I go outside, if I try to do anything, I couldn't do anything because it's pretty hot outside. It's like above 120, so what you can do it there. All right. When I got in middle school, I failed one class. It was like a tragedy for me. I was the top on top of my classes, and my like this result, the scores of mine were really like above 90. I couldn't went lower. But one class, the teacher couldn't like I asked him for help. It's like I want him like to just show me how to do stuff, but he didn't. He just let me do what like. He told me I can't do anything. I'm just a teacher. I will spend my time just on class. So I struggled a lot. I felt the one test was like the final. Then I have to leave the year. But I asked the principal of the school if I can take a replacement test, and he agreed. He helped me take a replacement. I passed with it just 60. When I got here in the first year, 2014. I experienced a lot. I started, like the teachers started to help me. They told me there's kind of the project I can use, but I didn't know what to use. I haven't like experienced a lot. Sorry if you cannot understand me, because I just learned this language like just 2 years.
You're doing anyway. Great.
Yeah, you're doing good.
Anyway, so 2015, my grades started to go up. And start to gain some confidence in me, but that was not enough. I still struggled in school. I couldn't do another thing. In 2016, I just heard about the commission, and I started like developing some kind of confidence in me. Like there's people they're going to support me. There's our students the same age as me, and they experience the same thing. So when I joined the Winterfest, they taught me like how to act like a leader. How to be like responsible for yourself. Then after that, I joined the B-Board camp. They taught me about technology, how to use tech to help me study, how to help me like using the phone without using my eyes. Because most of the time when I use my phone, I hurt a lot of my eyes. Like sometimes I have to be really close to my eyes. Then I experienced wages. They taught me how like to be independent, not always around my parents. And I, you know, my parents, they struggle a lot teaching me a lot of stuff, right? But most of the time they have work, so they cannot help me all the time. Yeah. Then after wages, I get like a lot of experience. How to be independent, how like to have a job, how to take care of myself without my parent help. It's that now I start thinking I can live by myself when I go to college. I can like. There's a like technology right now that help me do thing by myself. Yeah, thank you very much. Any questions?
Can I prompt you for one thing? Tell everybody like what you'll do later today or what you do each Saturday.
Well, after this meeting, I have work. I work at South Cafeteria. I experience this work while I'm in wages. And I wash dishes. Sometimes I do some cooking. And it was a little difficult for me to cook, because even at home, sometimes I cook, but I don't do a lot. But in wages, they tell us how to do how to cook, even when you're like, you cannot see what you're doing. Yeah.
Awesome. What grade are you in school right now?
I'm like a super senior. I'm graduating this semester.
Oh, okay. And then are you? So, do you have plans to attend the center here in Lincoln for more independent type of stuff?
I thought about it. Then I want like to finish college first. Then I will like do the center.
Okay. All right. Cool. Thank you for your time.
So this is Robert. So what
do you plan to study in college?
Well, the first 4 years I'm going to study English education. Then after that I'm going for law school.
Ah. Do you feel prepared to go to college?
Oh yeah. After the during the wages program, the reboot, I think now I have a confidence on the technology that's going to help me get that.
Go get them.
Thank you.
All right, Lucian, Bridget, would you guys come on up? Yeah, it was a tremendous watching Ahmed grow too. Just like, you know, he's under a year now that he's participated in our programs, and he didn't even tell you a story that Ahmed, I'm going to embarrass you a little bit, but the ladies from Blind and Socially Savvy told me that now every program they tell your story about basketball, where you would shoot over and over and over in the gym because you wanted to make the team, and they use that now as an example of perseverance in their program, which I don't think you knew before this. So anyway, now we're gonna get an exciting guy up here, huh, buddy? We got Lucian Brown and his mom Bridget Brown, and they also have their own story to tell, like we all do. And I like the parent perspective in this case, because I think that it's safe to say, without putting you on the spot, that both of you grew last summer. Lucian in your independence, and your mom in letting you go and spreading your wings, right? So here for a few minutes to tell you their story are Lucian and Bridget Brown.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I know it's a little early, you know. Wake up and everything. But for those of you who don't know me, I'm Lucian Brown. I'm from Omaha, Nebraska, and I'm here to talk about the NCBVI and all the programs that I've been in, like Wages, Winterfest, Skills Training, like Individual Training, Tabs, and Reboot. Now Wages was a huge opportunity for me to spread my wings and get to know everyone that I know now. And it allowed me to learn how to be a good employee and learn responsibility, leadership skills, social skills. And not only that, it's not every day you get a chance to go to Orlando, Florida. But, you know, I did have fun because I got a chance to go to Orlando and get on the roller coasters in Universal Studios. And I stayed at the campus in Lincoln during the Wages program, and I most definitely did enjoy the food there, because, you know, I'll admit it, I eat more than I usually do. But it's not the point. I'm saying that all the programs are very beneficial to me, but I think the one that's really beneficial to me is the Wages program. Now, Winterfest was a huge milestone, in my opinion, because it helped me to get used to being around other people and being away from my family for a little while. And I'll admit it, I was a little bit nervous the first time I ever went. Mm-hmm. And we all get that way, I know. I mean, it's not every day you get a chance to have this much help in your life, right? So it's impacted all my life for the last 4 years. And Tabs I've been in, I even helped clean up downtown Omaha. I don't know if most of you know where that is, but I cleaned up downtown Omaha with the commission and helped take care of the homeless. And I also loved going into individual training with Miss Kelly, Miss Nancy, Miss Kathy,
and Mr. Tim, though I do know that they helped me a lot. I learned cooking and keyboarding, and I mean, I don't really know everything about my technology, but I'm still learning. We all are. And I'm just one that, I'm just that kind of guy just that never quits, you know? I don't quit so easily. And it's things like even Reboot Camp, where I got my iPad and I got a chance to stay in a hotel in my own room. I even got a chance to, like, move around and operate around the entire area without any problems at all. And the best part about it is the pool and the jacuzzi. Your mom calls it the jacuzzi. I know it's kind of funny the way it sounds, but to be honest, it's more educational than it is, you know, struggling. You know, it's more fun and educational than it is a struggle. And
it was that first crack at independence, wasn't it, Blake?
Yeah, and
Should we give your mom a chance to talk a little bit about how she felt your summer went from her perspective?
I just want to close with those of you who are planning to go into wages in the future, I encourage you to follow the rules of wages. And I know you may not know the rules, but if you do happen to show up...
I can't pay for that kind of stuff.
If you do happen to show up, though, I'd be glad to show you the ropes. And I'd like to say a thank you to Ms. Kathy, Ms. Kelly, Mr. Tim, and Ms. Nancy, just to name a few people. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you all for listening.
All right, good job.
That's a hard act to follow. He pretty much touched upon everything. I wanted to see, I have to have notes. I don't know how to remember something that said. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the benefits in the agency and the programs and what I found most useful being part of the commission. We haven't been with them long. I wish I had known about it when Lucian was younger, but I didn't. But in the last few years, I think 4 years, last short 4 years, he has made some remarkable strides being with the commission. I think the most useful thing for me would be how accessible they are to parents. And I know I call all times of the day, afternoon, night, if I'm having what I call an issue. And with school or whatever, they answer. Ms. Kathy Brown is Lucian's counselor. And she has been very hands-on with us. She comes to the house. Who would have thought I would learn so many computer skills from someone that's visually impaired? Mm-hmm. And she not only helps Lucian, she helps me. Help labeling our computer, the stove, the refrigerator, the washer, the dryer, just helping to give him independence that I didn't think he was going to have. I have three other children, older children, that when they were born, and I was Johnny on the spot. I was at the education store. I made sure they had everything they needed to learn, from sight words, reading to math to whatever. And then Lucian came. And I didn't know how to help him or how to teach him. And they have helped us with that. They have taken away the fears and the thoughts of me thinking, well, he's never going to be able to leave home, kind of like Amit was saying, back in his country, they just stay home. And they took those fears away from me by helping him to learn the independence, by being in Winter Fest. I think that's like twice a year. Going there every time he goes and every time he comes back, he's grown. and he's learned things. And also really helpful is for them to be a part of his IEP and helping me to not cling on, helping me not to cling on so tight, and just afraid that someone else may hurt him or he may not get all that he needs. But they are a part of that IEP. We talk before we get in there. And what do you want? What does Lucian want to be happening? What are his needs, and helping us to get those needs met? And I know when they told us that they were going to be at Reboot and they were going to stay in the room by this, I said, well, I'm not staying in the room with you. And they said, no, you're not. And just to watch him and all the kids with the cane travel and just getting around the hotel, not needing any help, finding their room, finding the pool and the jacuzzi, and of course finding food and finding our conference rooms and getting back and forth to where they need to go. They learn so many different skills that who would have known was accessible for them. They can be whatever they want. They can be lawyers and chemists, and they can be whatever they want, just like your sighted children. And I wanted to say that when we went to the convention, to the convention in Florida, you know, we've gotten to know our little Nebraska group, right? But we got there and I was overwhelmed. I was dreaming. I would dream from the canes when we would be going from the sessions. And there were all kinds of people there, short, tall, just, and independently moving and working and speaking, and just like anyone else. And so I was a little overwhelmed by that. I thought that I just thank God for technology, thank God for the commission, and all the people that take the time to work within there. Miss Nancy Trask, transportation, Lord have mercy, when I can't get Lucian where Lucian needs to be. And there's little bitty things, from the smallest thing to the biggest thing. We could not do without those things and without those people in our lives. I'm going to get misty. And they've had those sessions with me when I call on the phone and I'm crying. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is what's going on at school. And they said, okay, we can work it out. There's nothing we can't work out. And there's been times when I've called, and Ms. Kelly and Ms. Kathy, if they don't have an answer for me right then, they call right back with an answer. And I don't know how many times did I come up in the summer. I don't even know. I don't know how many times.
A lot. It was great, though.
How many times I came in the summer.
You started dropping off toward the end, though.
I did. I got good. And I would call Shane and say, Shane, can I just come back and see his face? Can I? And they were amazing. And so I thank God for everybody that is involved in my son's life and helping to be whoever he wants to be. Thank you for your time.
Hey, Lucian, it's Robert Newman. I was an instructor a couple of summers when you took some training during the summertime, you know, temp stuff. Boy, the guy that you are today, you are like the older brother of that kid I used to know. So, wow.
Okay. I got a question for the mother.
Yes.
I'm so glad that you found the commission. How did you find the commission?
I actually went looking in the phone book. I said, there's got to be somebody that can help us. And because in school, in middle school was horrible. And I just felt so lost. And I felt like there was no help for him. And my husband and I would just say, well, he's just going to always be with us. And like I said before, I have three other children. And they're all college graduates. They're all two are married, one's not. And I wanted for him to have a normal, everyday life like everybody else. I want him to grow up. I want him to go to school and study whatever he wants to study. I want him to have a wife, a family. And I didn't think those things would be accessible because I didn't think he would ever be independent enough to do any of those things. And so it's a fun book.
Yeah, well.
Right, and so then I was asking his VI teacher about it, and and that was in middle school. They were saying, you can't really do anything with them until he's in high school. You have to wait. And remember me saying that they told me that they weren't accessible to him. He can't use them. He's not old enough. And so when I did, so I just called anyway.
Good job.
Amen.
They said, no, he could have been here. Just think about how far, but that's okay.
Well, you have an inspiring story. I hope that you'll share your story with other parents so that they can...
I have a question for the mother, too.
We're running a little behind. If you can... if maybe you can catch her at the break, that'd be great.
Okay.
All right, next we're going to call up another parent... student combo. What I liked about their story, well, all of it, of course, but it highlighted a couple things that I skipped over. Number one, again, we're focusing so much on the programs, but you got to hear quite a bit about the day-to-day piece that the offices are doing. Another thing that came out that I intended to mention before, and I don't want it to be diminished, is the Omaha office has started a parents group. And Tim Jefferson is heading that up. He and I are looking at making that statewide, but it's a really cool, it's more of a network, really, a parent network. It's driven by them, not us, that's some tremendous work that I skipped over highlighting earlier, trying to be mindful of time. So with that, I guess... next, we have Brandon and Jeff Peters from here in Lincoln. And you just heard, I like the segue, you just heard something that was told to Bridget Brown about who would be the likely candidate or eligibility for our services. And I touched on this earlier, but one of the things we often hear out there is that someone with physical disabilities would not be able to do something as rigorous as wages. And the young man that's before you now, Brandon Peters, comes with other issues in addition to his blindness. And he's had more medical procedures in his young life than most of us ever cared to have. And we all had to get together and get pretty creative and make a plan. So I'm not going to get up here and say it was always sunshine and roses, but he is an excellent example of shattering that myth about who is the typical person that can succeed in our program. And I wanted to make sure, and I know we're running over time, but thank you for letting them tell their story, because I think it's a really important one for the public to know.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
The wages program was actually the first program that I officially participated in that is part of the NCBVI. Through this program, I really learned some valuable skills, such as one thing that I was particularly frustrated about before this program is that I could not get my own medication because there was no label. And when I went to the wages program, I had a medication keeper that I could, you know, tell the different days of the week, and I was so excited about that because I was finally being, and I also learned some independent living skills. And also one of the things I particularly want to highlight is I really learned what true friends were. I mean, I've had friends, but I never really had friends such as I'll name a few: Ahmed Sarai, Jason Bond, Brianna Brinkowska, and Carly Penrose, that really got me involved in outside activities and really really cared about, you know, wanting me to have fun. And that's something I will never forget. And if I would recommend changes to this program, I would probably ask that if technology training was ever implemented again into the wages program, that the teaching of screen readers is more diverse in the Windows ecosystem, because I feel that only one screen reader is promoted here, and that's JAWS, and in my opinion, that doesn't really give, you know, all the options out there. But all the training, all the activities we did, I will never forget them, and I would recommend anyone who's going to wages to just take things as they come and just advocate for yourself when need be, and you'll get it done. Any questions?
No, I think, I don't think so.
I'm going to pass to your
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Hi, I'm Jeff Peters. I'm Brandon's dad. We got to become aware of the commission in, I think, January, February of 2016 as far as the opportunity for wages, to sign up for wages. Brandon knew Shane earlier through a VIP club, a visually impaired persons club. And so they too had a good friendship to start. But signing up for wages, when we understood what wages was all about, as parents we were, terrified to say. Because it meant that Brandon was going to go somewhere for a period of time longer than he'd ever been away from us before. You know, one or two nights is, you know, about the most. But for 7 weeks, that's a long time. We didn't know what to expect, but we took a leap of faith, and we're glad we did, because he worked on it a lot. He worked on his travel skills, which he was extremely fearful about going to a bus stop, let alone getting on a bus, and then going to his place of employment, which was YMCA. One of the key things, I think, of that program was the ability to navigate independently. Now, there was training involved, obviously, to get him to that point, but it built confidence in himself, and he knew. At the end of it, he said, I asked him, would he go through wages again? He said, absolutely. You know, so it did give him that sense of confidence. The other thing I think it did was, from a social aspect, it put him in place with his peers, so he wasn't alone. They had their squabbles and they had their joys, and they got to work through things. So I think that's the most important thing is getting through life with each other, you know, and relying on each other to get through some tough times. One of the funnier things, I guess, was the fact that Brandon's PC skills are just crazy good. For some odd reason, he couldn't email, FaceTime, or call his parents every night. Which is, you know, we had to actually talk to the group leader, said, hey, can you tell Brandon to call his mom, please? But we soon learned that he was okay, everything was good, he was having fun with his friends, and learning about life and how to be in the moment with his peers, working through his skills and or developing his skills, and also learning what a job's really about. Not that he per se liked the job, but that really wasn't the point. The point was to earn to earn money, you had to learn how to work with other people. You had to learn what to learn how to do your job and do it right, and accept accountability for what you're doing. And I think all of those things is what wages help Brandon become is more independent person. He definitely grew, and as a parent, I'm very, very proud.
I have a quick question for you, and maybe this pertains to Mrs. Brown as well. It sounds like Brandon has been a participant here in Lincoln in the VIP program, but how connected are you with other parents of blind children in Lincoln, Nebraska? Are you in communication at all with some of Brandon's peers through VIP, or that maybe that are in others that are in the school district?
Maybe not as closely as I would like. Well, you know, we're busy in our lives. Everybody's busy, but it's whenever there's an opportunity to get together, we do. Brandon competes in the Braille Challenge every year in Nebraska City. There's other venues that we get together and interact with each other. There's a NAPI organization that we look at as well, and we do know a lot of parents. And even from an early time when they were little, growing up, we still see those same parents today. So we do have some relationships built with other parents.
The reason I asked was, I don't think it's an uncommon thing that we've heard before where perhaps services that we offer don't get communicated to you because either we had no way of knowing about you while you're in school, unless somebody refers you to us. People who do might know about our services, like the TVIs, might not be, in some cases, might not be communicating that to you or communicating the services we offer accurately. And I was curious how much of a network there was there, an unofficial network maybe between blind parents. And I'm so glad to hear that you had such a great experience this summer, and I hope that you would be willing to share that with the other blind parents or parents of blind children that you meet and interact with as well.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
About what you were just talking about, we also get together like socially, right? We just came together at, I think it was Valentino's. All of us came together, and it wasn't anything of, it was just a social event. And we all came together and just ate and broke bread and just had a good time. So that does happen.
Well, I just got a comment from Brandon. As you go off to college and be successful, don't forget to FaceTime and email your mom and dad.
Oh, okay. Can I respond to that, please?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be
disruptive. Okay. Well, let me, before I went to Wages, I was terrified, absolutely terrified, to go away from my parents for this long of a time. I had no idea that I would have so much fun as I did. And when you're having so much fun, you forget something.
Don't forget your parents.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. We had a fifth individual, Carly Penrose, who we've been unable to get in contact with. But I can even turn that into a segue. You know how I am at that. So we'll get her on a podcast series that we're going to start doing. And I wanted to bring that up this morning because some of us, all of those that you just heard from and myself are going to step next door, and we're going to record some little mini podcasts that we can use up on YouTube. Right now, my working title for it is Making Change Make Sense. Okay. We'll see if that's what ends up coming out. But in all seriousness, we'll get Carly on there. She's a young woman who I wanted her story because she didn't know she was even blind. I think about this time last year. Came to our programs and how it changed her. So it's unfortunate that we missed that, but we are running behind already anyway, so it'll all come out in the end. There are also individuals now at the orientation center that I wanted to mention. I know they were attempting to attend. I don't know if they're here yet or not, but there are, I believe now, 4 individuals who are at the Nebraska Center for the Blind who recently went through the programs, and I'll try to feature them so that you get their stories as well, because this all works hand in hand, and that's kind of what I wanted to conclude with is, again, these stories are not, you know, the premium stories. They're the average stories. They're great stories, but they're just indicative of many other people. I am kind of the figurehead or that kind of thing in this area, but I stand on the shoulders of giants, honestly. All this that we pulled off, there's a mountain of people and a mountain of work that went into all of it, and so I would publicly want to thank literally every member of the commission had a piece in some aspect of all this. And in concluding, to you commissioners, these stories are great, but it's really hard. I tried through that story about Redneck Boy to articulate to you the seeing the change in action, but it is very difficult to do. So if you're ever interested in attending any of the programs, just reach out to me and we'll try to make it happen. I can hardly think of any instance that it wouldn't be okay, you know, for you to be involved. So we'd love to have you see this on right in front of your own eyes, because it's truly, truly remarkable. So just remember that in concluding, we don't have to be who we were. Everyone can change. Thank you.
Shane, I'd ask if you could stick around until we break. Because we're going to go into public comment right now, and just in case there was questions for you guys.
Absolutely, that's fine. Right. Thank you, Mike.
Okay, so with that, then, we're going to go ahead. I know we're running a little bit late. We're going to go ahead and move into public comment. If you have a question at this time, if you could please, one at a time, say your name. I'll go ahead and write them down, and then we'll go We'll go around one by one and let you ask your question. Is there anyone that would like to?
Can the flavor? Okay. We got you.
All right.
Now?
Anyone else? Okay.
They all over
you. Gotcha.
And I may as well chime in as Jim. So I'm right here in the back row. It's a conspiracy.
Jim wasn't going to say
this is to Lucian's mother and Brandon's father. As parents, what was the hardest lesson that you learned? What was the hardest lesson you learned, or the hardest thing to control within yourself in order to give your children the freedom to advance as far as they have?
For me, the hardest thing was allowing him to be around his peers, because he's had a lot of bullying. He's dealt with that a lot, and so he needed a lot of help with his social skills and understanding people's personal space. You know, because he can't see when he's at home with us and doesn't bother us. He's close and he stands close. And he's just in your space. And when you go out and you need to build rapport with people and gain social skills and talk to people, you need to give them that space and backup And because of that, I think some of that, he's dealt with a lot of bullying, people hitting him and hurting him. And so I worried about that a lot. And so, and even though everyone else was visually impaired, I just didn't know. And so I just worry about when he goes out. So, and a lot of that has been taken away.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, for me, it was struggling with Brandon's independent skills because they're not strong. He lacks the experience there, and that's mainly my fault as a parent, not giving those teachings, you know, and maybe not knowing just exactly how to implore strategy for different reasons. Letting him go to wages was a big fear of mine and my wife's, obviously, Brandon's mom. But there, you know, when Brandon has to figure things out and work with others to define strategies, they can come back and teach you things. And I guess that's what taught me is that it's not that you want him to fail, but sometimes he has to fail before you can succeed.
Right.
I want to thank you both for having the courage and the wisdom to do what I don't think I could do. I'm not sure I'd have the courage to back off the way you have. I think that must be the hardest thing in the world.
Hello.
Well, first of all, I went to the Nebraska School for the Blind, and that's what they called it when I was going there. I graduated in 1966, so just consider how long ago that was, and that's my perspective. But I went to the School for the Blind when I was 8, because it took that long for someone to recognize that the reason that I wasn't making it in public school. I don't know. I haven't really had any connection with the commission in a very long time. And I don't know, and please someone can tell me, what? Is there not a system by which children are identified early in their life by local school systems and they're connected with the commission early in their life as to providing all of the various services that are necessary so that going to something like this wages program is just a part of an educational process that they go through? It sounds like people are surprised to find that these things exist. And is the public system not good at providing information to parents and families? I'm certainly not an expert, but I've had plenty of experiences growing up, and although this was a long time ago, and I have not been in favor of the decentralization of education for children who are visually impaired. So you have to take that into account. Because it's not easy for parents to give up their children and have them live in Nebraska City. And I understand that. But is there not a system by which public schools are required to make notify
there is
parents?
Age requirements when different people, different groups are involved, and and I'm going to ask Shane or Dr. Van Zandt to answer that a little bit more in more detail, because we put together memorandums of understanding between ourselves and the Department of Education. But even with those, I know we're things are constantly changing with the changes with WIOA right now. That memorandum of understanding, I believe, is in review and possibly to be changed here in the future. But if one of you could answer that a little bit more in more detail.
Sure, I'll speak to it, and Shane, then if you want to add, you can. If not, that's okay too. That communicating throughout the lifespan of consumers and with the statewide, with educators and other service systems, it's an ongoing basis, or an ongoing process, I should say. There are, I think, like what Mrs. Brown mentioned, there are definitely in educators who think that and call NCBBI the adult agency. They think that we're only involved with, at an age of, say, now it's 16 or 14. But for decades, we've had programs for children, and we've had counselors going to families' homes and talking about the resources and teaching some techniques and so on. So we are working in every office. The staff are communicating and trying to get to know the educators and the schools and the families in their counties that they cover. Shane's working, and we're working with the Department of Education at the level of the state to reinforce that we are here for people of all ages. And we really have always thought of transition as starting at birth, when you start learning about what people do when you grow up and that stuff. So it's really an ongoing process. And if you have something specific.
I'm incredibly surprised, and given my history and my background and what I went through, I'm incredibly disappointed that local schools don't know enough all over the state, don't know enough to notify the commission when a child walks in with a parent and the child has these issues and they happen to have visual impairment. I was 8 years old when I went to the school for the blind. And it wasn't any fun living 50 miles away from my parents, but I got services at 8 years old that a lot of these children are not getting. And there needs to be better communication between local schools and the commission. I'm just shocked.
We hear
it. I'm just shocked. I'm nearly 70 years old, and it doesn't sound like it's gotten any better.
Yeah. There is not a requirement for a school to notify us of a child. And we're doing everything that we can to build the relationships that we can with the Department of Ed and the network of teachers for the visually impaired throughout the state of Nebraska to make sure that they're informed of what we can offer, let them know that we're not a alternative to their services. We're not here to compete with their services. We're here to complement their services. We're not here to try to put a TVI out of a job.
Right.
We're here to work with them to get the best outcome for the students in the state. We really hope that that's the type of a relationship that we can build with the school districts and the teachers of the visually impaired around the state so that they are familiar with the services we offer and that they actively communicate those with the parents, like we heard from today, so that they then can have their children participate in activities at a much younger age.
Yes, please.
And Dale, if I could add, I think a couple things. WIOA is going to put a little more teeth in there because there's guaranteed more money to help provide some services that are going to attract these people. And I always say blind people aren't dumb. If there's things out there to help them, they'll find it.
Well, it's certainly a good idea for children to be taught locally so they don't have to move across the state to go to Nebraska City to get a proper education. I mean, that's a good thing. But it sounds to me like things aren't getting done as far as the education of these children when they're very young, and you can teach them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When, like me, they were 8 years old. By the time they're able to graduate from high school, they know a whole lot about living in the world.
Yeah.
Right.
And well, all of those things could have been taught to them when they were 8, 10, 12.
Yeah, what you're saying is not just unique to Nebraska.
Yeah. Yes.
American Council of Blind last year had a legislative initiative to hold the education department more accountable for identifying people with different disabilities. And the problem you have is it's a complicated issue. You go out to western Nebraska where you have sparsely populated and you don't have enough VI teachers. It's complicated. And
one thing I wanted to mention.
Yeah. This is where I'm complaining.
Yeah. Right.
I'm sorry. I just.
No, absolutely.
We appreciate it.
Dr. Van Zandt. Dr. Van Zandt.
10 years after I graduated from the School for the Blind.
Dr. Van Zandt, then we're going to need to move on to Jim.
Okay. Just briefly, next week there's the State Department of Education is putting on a transition conference, which they do every year. We have a number of counselors that are going, and then I'm also going to be on a panel, and we'll be talking about how what our services are and what NCBVI can do and how families can contact us. So we're working on it, and we certainly agree. We'll go to Jim.
Hold on, Bob. I got the mic. I got to ask Lucian, what did you do to get in trouble with wages?
No.
Very kidding. Very quickly, I wanted to suggest to folks that Lucian made a comment about Nancy and her abilities, working with her, and so on and so forth. I've known Nancy for, 34, 35 years now. And the Omaha staff seems like they're on top of things. They seem like they do a good job. They seem like they're together. And I think that the parents have echoed that, and I just wanted to give a shout-out to the Omaha staff. And, yeah, so there you go. Dale, to your point, very quickly, I was introduced to the commission when I was in high school in Omaha. I did not get to go to Nebraska City because the OPS did not want to send me down there because it was tax dollars that was leaving the district. That's what the whole issue is. So I think, you know, in my case, maybe a little different than yours, I think my case was the fact that I was introduced to them when I was a teenager, 13, 14 years old. So I think it may depend on a number of circumstances. And so, I mean, that's all I had. So.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to interject. I didn't put my name down. My name's Barbara Edwards.
Go ahead, Barb. Barb will be the last one.
Okay. It might help if somebody would put leaflets on eye doctors.
That's done, Barb.
Then they should refer you to the Board of Education that this person or that person is visually impaired. Should go down.
Barb, we do work with optometrists and eye doctors around the state.
Yeah,
we go to their conventions. They know about our services. And to be honest, some eye doctors want to be the answer. They don't want, they would, politely as I can, I think that some eye doctors feel that if they refer somebody to us that they have not succeeded in their job. They want to be the one to mm-hmm. to solve that individual's condition or problem and make them successful in life. Not all, but I'm sure there's a few that are that way. So, all right, we're going to move on to a quick break. 10 minutes, if we could keep it to 10 so that we can keep going. We're about 30 minutes behind. So again, if you need to use the restroom, if you walk out into the hallway here, make a left, and it's towards the end on your right.
towards the end on the right.